You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program here on Thursday, November 6th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here. Intersection of State and Fairchild, downtown Madison. Look outside, Zommers. It seems getting I guess it's not getting cloudier. It's getting darker. By the way, we failed to mention yesterday was the big beaver moon. Did you know that?
I did not.
It was a full moon, and this was the beaver moon. The beaver moon was rising.
You know what? That's actually perfect timing.
I know.
Right now, I'm wearing my Hundreds of Beavers hat.
I know you are.
And tonight, at the Driftless Film Festival in Mineral Point, they are screening the film Hundreds of Beavers.
See? See, I weave that in there.
Just, you gotta do the weave.
You got to do the weave. You got to weave it in there. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and friend he's changed over from Facebook to YouTube. This is big news in and of itself. He says, I used to dance under the name Beaver Moon. I did not know that.
Now, Jeff, I know you have an extensive videotape collection. I'll leave it at that.
Now, all these years, I thought when he was going to work on Water Street in Platteville, I thought he was like working at Steve's Pizza. But no, he was dancing.
So good for him.
You know, I have no judgment on it. You understand?
You uniquely develop some very strong muscles from that right? kind of dancing.
Yes, absolutely. Many thanks to Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, for being with us here in hour number one. How about that guy? I mean, he makes you feel better for having had him on the show and being around him. That's just who Dan Schaefer is.
He really does.
If you have not subscribed, please do so at therecombobulationarea.news. I don't push a lot of subscriptions on this show, only those that I believe in. And the Recombobulation Area is one of them. So check it out. He, along with Angela Lang and all kinds of other great people, they write some thoughtful things. Look, you might not always agree, but it's written smartly. And anybody who listens to this show knows I have an appreciation for anything that's written well. And the Recombobulation Area, numerous award winner because it's written well. So check them out at therecombobulationarea.news. Always a good read over there at the Recombobulation Area. So thanks to Dan for being here. Going to do a What's Worse here in a minute. Before we get to Wisconsin Fun Fact, I just want to thank all of our listeners and viewers. In hour number one, as we talked about these new changes being proposed on the University of Wisconsin system. And look, people always use Todd, you're a conspiracy theorist. Okay. Well, present me evidence that these questions that I ask about the UW system, I can't find answers to. So what else are you left to conclude that there is some sort of thing going on that people don't want us to see? Case in point, these new changes on general ed requirements for all UW institutions, as well as the core curriculum. It's going to be brought up and talked about in a Board of Regents meeting on November 19th. And you can't find this anywhere except buried in a Universities of Wisconsin memo way down under the question that says, what is the role of the regents in this process? And buried in there, it says, it is anticipated that the Board of Regents will consider RPD 4-X at a special meeting on November 19th. And they're soliciting comment and feedback. So there's a meeting coming up on the 19th of the Board of Regents, which they don't want you to know about, but I'm telling you. And the part of the public comment period already ended. There is another part that goes until this Sunday. So If you have feelings on this, it might be easier just to call your state legislator, your senator, or your assembly person, or call Governor Tony Evers' office. Because remember, he has nominated the majority of the border regions now. I would tell you to call the president of the border regions, but I honest to God don't know who that is anymore. When they were the president of the border regions, that was a big job. And that person would hold press conferences, and everybody knew him. I can't tell you who that person is right now because you never hear him. You never see him. They're silent. And what they're doing, in my opinion, based on reporting, we're still going to work. We're going to follow up with this next Monday or next week as I dig into this further. You know, Yogi Berra, you guys know one of my favorite Yogi Berra sayings is, you can see a lot just by looking around. That's kind of the way I do things. You can see a lot just by looking around. Just talk to people. Go have coffee with them. I've told this story before. My former boss, Dale Schultz, when he was majority leader, he'd call the office and he'd say, I got to talk to Todd. And they'd be like, he's out. Where is he at? Having coffee with a reporter or whoever. And he'd be furious. Absolutely furious. And I got back to the office one day. And I called him back, and he calmly picked up the phone because he saw the caller ID and he knew it was me. And he said, I want you to make a list of everybody in your life who's more important than me, and we're going to go over it.
That's amazing. I think you have told that, but it's still great.
And years later, he said, you know, and now I realize why you went and had coffee with all those people. Because if you go and... So much of life, right, is about relationships. You get to know someone and you build trust, not through press releases and emails. You just listen and talk. And sometimes you find out things, you know, by just talking about hunting or travel. And then people start talking about other things. And that's the way I get a lot of my information.
How I look at it is exactly the same as telling the truth. If you just tell the truth, it's easy because you don't have to keep your story straight.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
If you just be nice to people, you will feel better and you'll get better results.
Exactly right. So we're going to keep on this story. I'm a huge believer in the Wisconsin idea because I would not be where I'm at without the Wisconsin idea, without going to a two-year college, without going into Platteville. And it irritates me that people who are put in positions of power like Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, and legislators, quite frankly, and even the governor, who I voted for the governor when he was school superintendent and every time he ran for governor. But this lack of transparency on this issue, I don't understand it. And I don't understand why they're not involving the public. If they want to close all the two-year campuses, which is looks like where it's headed, they should just say it and not blame it on low enrollment because that is totally bogus. Yes, that's real. The enrollment at these 2 years is low, but they don't want to talk about what I know to be factually true, that they are undercutting the 2 years by not providing adequate resources for recruitment anymore. And the same thing at some of the 4 years. So let's just be honest, Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux on the Republican side. Let's be honest, Governor Tony Evers on the Democratic side. Let's be honest, President Jay Rothman and Border Regents. Let's have an open public discussion on the future of the Wisconsin idea. It at least deserves to die in the light of day instead of darkness. It's coming up on 15 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for a Wisconsin fun fact.
Wisconsin, land of beauty, with your hillsides and your plains.
That's right. Time once again for Wisconsin Fun Fact. Hitherto unknown fact. On November 6th, 1837, Burlington, Iowa was chosen as a temporary capital for the Wisconsin Territory. Construction had begun in Madison on a permanent Capitol building, and legislators first convened there in 1838. Since that time, no one from Wisconsin has ever set foot in Iowa again. And that's how we play Wisconsin Fun Fact. I did not know that.
No,
that's news to me.
One of my friends went to Purdue.
Oh, the chicken or the university?
The university, I think.
Okay, very good. Study Purdue. Go ahead.
And so I'll have to share this fun fact with her.
All right, very good.
I think it will delight her.
Study Purdue, about Atlanta, Georgia. You're on Larry King Live. Jane in Madison, listening on WMDX, says, as a recent retiree from the UW system here, I have been watching the quote-unquote reorganizing and dismantling of the UW system from inside since about 2011, and it is anything but transparent. Thank you for the topic. The public needs to be the decider here, and decisions need to be made in the public interest. That hasn't been the process so far. Thank you. I appreciate that, Jane, in Madison on WMDX. Let's see here. Mary Mount Horeb asking on WMDX says, being the former superintendent of schools, why is Governor Evers supporting this, meaning these cutting of schools? I don't want to put words in his mouth, Mary. It's a good question, but I'm not suggesting he necessarily supports it, but you heard it in his own words there. He's not actively working to stop it or to quell it. At least he hasn't given us any evidence of that.
And since then, nearly 2 years ago, he hasn't said anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to Casper's comment here, one of our great engineers, because I thought this was really good. Casper on YouTube says, let's see here. What if the cure for cancer is locked inside the head of someone who can't afford to go to college? Another good point. And look, there are all kinds of debates whether basic public education or basic higher ed, like community colleges or the two-year colleges, whether that should be free or not. I think Casper says, hear me out. We could do what nearly all other countries do and offer a free public college education. Yes, that's certainly possible. That gets into how you fund it. Of course, one of the ways people have come on this network, patriotic millionaires, start by taxing the one percenters. As our guest said, it was earlier this week or last week from Patriotic Millionaires, Chuck Collins, we're talking about the people that are making $40 million plus. We're not talking about your local farmer or your local small business person. We're talking about the 40 million plus category. 100 million, 500 yeah, million,
that
a billion.
Last week. Yeah. Another part of their message, notably, if you tax these people who make obscene amounts of money, another part of their suggested tax reform is that the first $45,000 are not taxed.
Right.
Which, so that helps everybody.
There's an option there, too. All right, coming up on 19 past the hour. Let's do this quick. Open it up. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, just your chance to have your voice heard on all 10 news, talk, sports stations, the Civic Media Radio Network. Timely, timely indeed. Times are tough. But one of the cheap things out there to have dinner, eggs. Eggs. Today's category, what's worse, scrambled eggs or over-easy eggs? Scrambled eggs or over-easy eggs? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app, scrambled eggs or over-easy eggs. Tom in New Berlin says, hey, went to work early this morning at 4:30. The moon was cool looking, which wish I would have snapped a picture. It was cool looking. That beaver moon rising over Wisconsin. Come on back. It's the Don Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Themed one of my favorite all-time television shows, the iconic Frasier. Frasier. How about
good
that?
Good show. Good tune.
Great show. Yeah, really, really great show. Good tune talking about scrambled eggs. Our What's Worse for today, Zommer's on the board. Glad to have him along. Always picking the great tunes there to move the show along. And the category today, scrambled eggs or over-easy eggs. What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse? scrambled eggs, or over easy eggs. PJ, watching us on YouTube, we appreciate that, PJ. Welcome in. Says, I enjoy both styles of eggs. It depends on how I'm feeling. Omelets are also a good choice. I do like me a well-done, like if you go to a hotel, a nicer hotel, and they've got the breakfast buffet, or you go to a brunch at a nice place, and they've got the chef will make you a to-order omelet.
Those are delicious.
Those are fantastic, right?
One of my friends is really good at making omelets, and really? Occasionally we'll go all spend the night there, and they wake up before everybody else and make omelets, and they're delicious. Oh.
Fantastic. What's worse, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Heather on Facebook up at Eau Claire, WCFW The Tap, our great station in the Chippewa Valley. Heather says, depends on who's making them. Over easy eggs are more risky. Higher chance of underdone whites. So I guess they are worse. But moms are the best. I would agree with that. This happens to be my little sister. Our mom, particularly, my favorite is, I know it's not healthy, but I don't care. You get yourself some, like, Newski's bacon, some nice thick bacon, and you fry that, and then you use the bacon grease, and you fry your eggs in that.
Bacon grease makes anything taste delicious.
Our grandpa Wallace, my grandmother would make this breakfast, and she'd fry the bacon, and then she'd make eggs in bacon grease. And then grandpa would like, then she'd make pancakes. He didn't like syrup on his pancakes as much as he just wanted like about 4 tablespoons of bacon grease on his pancakes.
You know, I can't say I would do that, but also.
It was very good.
I bet it's delicious.
Good. Very good. Very good.
I'm sure you can feel your arteries, you know,
right.
Closing up.
What's worse, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Could also text us on the old Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it today. Simply go to your app store, your Apple or Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a cute CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Steve in Mount Horeb, listening on WMDX here in Madison. Steve, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? What's worse?
I would have to say over easy, except for the fact that I love a good breakfast burger, and that's the only time I like an over easy egg is when that yolk is cascading over my burger.
Right?
Other than that, I won't eat over easy eggs.
All right, but you make a good point. There's always a time and place for everything, right?
That's right.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your listenership out there in beautiful Mount Horeb. 855-752-4842. What's worse, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? Let's see here. Jack and Merrimack. Jack is calling in, listening to WMDX out of Madison. Jack, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? What's worse?
Over easy, definitely. By the way, my apologies for calling in a second time. I never do that.
Yeah, you're always welcome, Jack. Why are you anti over easy?
Well, the way I like my eggs is what I call eggs with stuff. And I kind of open up the fridge and find out what kind of stuff I'm going to put in the egg.
All right.
For instance, if I've got bell peppers, they go in. If I've got mushrooms, they go in. If I got onions, that goes in. Bacon bits, if I've made bacon, I'll crush up one of the bacon. I'll put in a nice mild cheese. Mm-hmm. So
I love
definitely prefer the scrambled.
All right, that's good. Shop the fridge. Instead of shop the pig, Jack shops the fridge, right?
Yep.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate you out there, beautiful Merrimack. Casper on the YouTube says scrambled eggs are worse. My parents used to make them in the microwave, and that completely ruined them for me. Give me that liquid chicken.
You know, scrambled eggs in the microwave sounds like a war crime.
I've had them. If they cook long enough, it's not terrible, but it's not great. Sean on the old Civic Media app, listening to us on WRCE in Richland Center. That's where we will broadcast the show from tomorrow. Sean, one of our great UPS drivers there on What's Worse, says, we're going to get to it in a second. There we go. Both are great. But when I mess up making an over easy egg, it gets scrambled. By the way, growing up, we had bacon and eggs for dinner on occasion. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Breakfast for dinner is one of my favorite things.
It's fantastic. No, it's absolutely fantastic. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? Chris in beautiful Sun Prairie on WMDX says over easy is what I usually prefer, but the best eggs I ever had were scrambled eggs done with butter and lobster chunks at a now closed Heidel House in Green Lake. Absolutely delicious. Now that does sound really good.
I've never had lobster in any form.
Really? No form at all?
No, all right, I have not. Good.
Michael on WMDX, listening out of Tosa, says, I love over-easy eggs, but I cannot cook them very well, so I will say over-easy unless someone else makes them. All right, fair enough. Zommers, what's worse?
I don't know. I think I like a lot of eggs. I'm going to have to say over-easy eggs are worse because there's great potential and great potential for disaster.
The old Kevin O'Connor quote. I'm going to say scrambled are worse because if you do them right, it's hard to beat a good over-easy egg. All right, come on back. We'll talk about the airport closures and which ones are open and who will not be affected. Don't miss it. Farm News is next. Welcome back to the Tunnelball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Thursday, November 6th. Aaron Zommers on the board. Glad to be with you here behind the mic for another great Thursday across the state of Wisconsin. Going to get into just a minute here reporting on what's going on at these airports. Sean Duffy, former MTV star from Wisconsin. Now he's the Secretary of Transportation. And talking about the FAA, a preliminary list for cuts, reductions amid this shutdown. And we're going to give you a little news you can use because this, in a way, obviously, Sean Duffy is goofy, in my opinion. But the ramifications are very, very serious because a lot of us are traveling and even more so as Thanksgiving holiday looms. And we're being told that it's scheduled to be one of the busiest holidays on record in terms of flight. And nothing funny at all about trying to get to see loved ones or whatever during Thanksgiving. So we'll give you some tips on if your flight gets delayed or canceled. Also, a little a Marjorie Taylor Greene cut. And Zommers is like, what? Because I have not sent it to him yet. But she had said something. Nancy Pelosi announced today, former Speaker of the House, that she is not going to seek re-election. Nancy Pelosi going to retire after this term out there in California. And we'll hear what Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying about her here in a minute as well. And also, there is a certain percentage of people that are not going to be affected by these airport cutbacks. Abigail Disney will tell us in just a minute who that is. But first, a little breaking news here, if I could find it. It's all over my phone. This off of the Associated Press moments ago. A federal judge in Rhode Island ordered the Trump administration this afternoon to find the money to fully fund SNAP benefits for this month, for November. The ruling by U.S. District Judge John J. McConnell Jr. this afternoon was in response to a challenge from cities and nonprofits complaining that the administration was only offering to cover 65% of the maximum benefit. The government said it will rely on $4.65 billion in emergency funding. Quote, the defendant, this is from the judge, quote, the defendants failed to consider the practical consequences associated with this decision to only partially fund SNAP, Judge McConnell wrote. They knew that there would be a long delay in paying partial SNAP benefits and failed to consider the harms who harms individuals who rely on those SNAP benefits, how they would suffer, unquote. The Trump administration said last month that it would not pay benefits for all of November because of the federal shutdown. Last week, two judges ordered the government to pay at least partial benefits using that emergency fund. And initially said it would cover half, but now says it will cover 65%. The plaintiffs want the benefits to be fully funded. The USDA said last month that benefits for November would not be paid because of the federal government shutdown. That set off a scramble by food banks, state governments, and the nearly 42 million Americans, including 700,000 Wisconsinites, I might add, who receive the aid to find other ways to ensure access to groceries. The program serves about 1 in 8 Americans and is a major piece of the nation's social safety net. It costs more than $8 billion per month nationally. This is a breaking news. Of course, we'll have more on this this afternoon as warrants. But right now, again, the headline, a federal judge in Rhode Island has ordered the Trump administration this afternoon to find the money to fully fund SNAP benefits for November. This will set up, as we talked to our friend Matt Flynn earlier this week, an attorney himself, this is going to set up a real, I don't want to call it a dilemma, but a potential, I think that's the right word, a potential for a constitutional crisis, because now a federal judge has ordered the administration to fund all of these SNAP benefits. So now the ball gets put back in Trump's court. Is he going to go along and follow a federal judge's orders, or will he defy the courts? And if that happens, we're in constitutional crisis time. So stay tuned for that. Back, let's wrap this up quick on our, because I appreciate the listeners. I appreciate when you guys take the time to call in or text in. I get, like, you don't have to do that. And if you're participating, I feel I have the responsibility to say thank you and to bring you into the show. Our question today on what's worse, and the food ones, Zommers, the food ones always get people involved, and I love it.
And, you know, we're always happy to do it too, because it turns out, everybody eats food?
Everybody. Turns out they do. So our what's worse question today was, what's worse, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? And Don in Madison on WMDX, a newer listener, says, outrageous question. Both are great, especially in huevos rancheros.
Strongly agree.
I love me some good huevos rancheros. I preferred over easy with my huevos rancheros.
Oh, me
but,
too.
But to each their own. Thank you, Don and Madison on MDX. I appreciate that. And a brand new caller, by the way, Jill in Oshkosh, listening on WISS. Jill, thanks for finding us and tuning us in. We greatly appreciate that. Jill in Oshkosh says, over easy, snotty eggs are gross. So she's saying a scrambled egg could be not done enough, all right?
Yeah, see, I understand that. A lot of people don't like the texture of eggs, sometimes at all, or about particular ways they're cooked. Now, and I can understand that.
The guy that we need here to talk about this is Luke Mathers.
He does have egg opinions.
He hates eggs.
Yes.
He's a wonderful, talented guy, but the guy just, he doesn't like eggs. But here, a quick fun, we're going to give you a 2-for-1 in Wisconsin fun facts. It's not particularly about Wisconsin, but I learned years ago the right way to scramble an egg. And I learned it from Bobby Flay. He and I were hanging out. No, I only wish. He used to have breakfast with Bobby Flay at the Food
right.
Network. And so this is real. I'm not making this up. You take your nonstick pan, slow and low, just like barbecue, slow and low, like a medium low heat. Put a bunch of butter. So maybe for like, if you're scrambling 2 eggs, a good tablespoon of butter, all right? Let that just melt. Then take your 2 eggs and just put like a pencil stream of water out of your tap, and then just put the bowl underneath it, like just like a second, just like that much water. So I don't know, maybe like a teaspoon of water, maybe a teaspoon and a half. Not a bunch of water, it'll get runny. But just a little bit of water, scramble it up real well, get some air in there, right, with a fork or a whisk. Salt and pepper to taste, as they say. And then as you're whisking it, put that into your pan with the butter melted and let it sit there for about 15, 20 seconds. Then take a rubber spatula and make a circle 8 in the pan. And then let it sit slow and low until you start to see the curdles of the first egg cooking. Then do another figure 8 and kind of turn the pan around so the rest of the liquid gets dispersed. Let it sit. Then when you just are seeing the eggs start, you want to take them off the heat when they look wet. And that's where people go wrong. Oh, I got to cook these until. No. because just like meat, eggs will continue to cook after you take them off the heat. So when it still looks wet, take the eggs off the heat, give them a couple of swirls again or whatever, and let them sit for, you know, whatever, 30 seconds. Perfect scrambled eggs.
That does sound like it'll work really well. It also sounds really good with my velveted chicken.
Yes. You can have scrambled eggs and velveted chicken. See, look at that. A little cooking news that you could use. Chris in Madison on WMDX says, oh, well, this is fantastic. I'm with Luke. I don't like eggs. And everyone I know thinks I'm crazy for that. I don't think you're crazy, Chris. We all have our things. I in my world, I don't know a lot of people that don't like eggs, but I know it's a thing. What else here? Chris in Some Prairie. Did we read that one already?
Yes.
Yeah, we already read that. So I think we're caught up. So appreciate everybody. Oh, Michael in Tulsa. Yeah, we did that one as well. All right. I think we're all caught up. All right. Let's go to this. At 44 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, according to The Hill this afternoon, many of the largest airports across the country will see a noticeable reduction in flight offerings starting tomorrow, as the Federal Aviation Administration, better known as the FAA, implements new steps to maintain air safety amid the ongoing government shutdown. The preliminary list of 40 airports operating at reduced capacity obtained by The Hill's sister network, News Nation, that's either owned by the... I'm not even going to get into that. This is actual news because I've verified to other places. The FAA is expected to announce the full list sometime later Thursday. That's today. But the list, also verified by the Washington Post, CBS News, ABC News, includes virtually all major air travel hubs. Going to go through these because I know a lot of people fly, but to Dan Schaefer's earlier point, so far we have not heard that any airports in Wisconsin are being directly affected. Now, we all know that living in Wisconsin, unless you're in Milwaukee and a few in Madison, maybe a couple out of Green Bay as well, but most of our airports in Wisconsin, you have to go into a hub. So you're going from, you know, point A in Wisconsin into either the Twin Cities or Chicago or Detroit, maybe Dallas-Fort Worth, and then you're getting on another plane to go to your final destination. Although we've gotten more direct flights here in Wisconsin. So I want to read these for you. You can find this at The Hill or other sources as well. But Anchorage, Alaska, Jackson, Atlanta Airport, basically, Boston Logan, Baltimore, Washington, BWI, Charlotte Airport there. Also in Kentucky, Dallas Love Airport, Reagan National Airport in Washington, Denver, Dallas-Fort Worth, Detroit, Newark, Fort Lauderdale. Where else? Los Angeles, Las Vegas, New York Kennedy Airport, Orlando, Chicago Midway. Interestingly enough, here's Chicago O'Hare as well. So Chicago Midway and O'Hare. Memphis, Miami, Minnesota, St. Paul, Oakland, Ontario, Portland, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Diego, Louisville, Tacoma, Seattle, or Seattle, Tacoma, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Teterboro, and Tampa International. So Milwaukee, not on the list. No, Wisconsin airports on that list so far. Going to tell you a couple of tips here, according to professionals, what to do if you get canceled or delayed at your flight. But first, and this is both great and terrible all at the same time. Abigail Disney of the Disney family. Yes, the Walt Disney family. She is one of the patriotic millionaires. She's been at my hometown, Richland Center, as part of the Patriotic Millionaires Project. She's been on this network talking about people like her, billionaires or multi-million. We're talking 40, 50 million plus. Need to be taxed more. Abigail Disney gave up many of her privileges as a Disney family member. And she had this observation this morning or this afternoon about who is not being affected by the FAA airport throttle back.
Hey guys, Abby Disney here. I have an idea for Sean Duffy. He's going to be shutting down 10% of air traffic. My goodness, that's a lot. But he could even more easily shut down 12% of air traffic by just grounding private planes. Yes, private planes make up 12%. 12% of the air traffic. So if you're angry that you're flying to see your grandma's cancer, or that you have to get to a business meeting but you can't, I want you to remember, and maybe even write Sean Duffy and let him know that Mike Zuckerberg can wait.
A little hard to hear because she was doing this in an airport, as it turned out. But Abigail Dinsey points out that 12% of all flights are on private jets.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to across the state of Wisconsin, followed by a check of weather. Our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, in with a sports report. Like, no, nobody covers sports in this state like Mike Clemens. Always, particularly Packers. Packers' big game on Monday night at home against Philadelphia. See if they can bounce back after their debacle against the Panthers. We shall see, but Clemens will be there. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with Brandon Ewing is on the show tomorrow. We're live from Michelin Center. Looking forward to that, Zombers.
Yeah, not only will Mike Clemens be there, he is typically, I'll say always, or at least nearly always, one of the last few people out of the stadium.
He is always there, always working hard. We appreciate him. Mike Clemens, keep it here for continuing coverage of the Pack. And then after a Clemens Sports Report, another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Stay tuned for that. 2 until 4, and then coming up 4 until 6, Todd, on the Maggie Dawn Show. And then 6 until 8, another edition of Nightlight with our friend Pete Schwabinator. Always a good time. Entertaining. And you learn something. And it's a great way to wind down with your favorite beverage. Pete, Conrad, and the entire crew from the studios of WGBW in downtown Green Bay.
Cowboy hats are optional.
Really?
I guess you didn't know. You had it before. Right. So
I want to finish up right before the break there. Was playing this cut from Abigail Dinsey, kind of hard to hear because she was filming her, shooting this, whatever you want to say, posting it at an airport. And she knows this because she's from the Dinsey family and she gave up a lot of her wealth as a part of Patriotic Millionaires. And she pointed out that if Sean Duffy and the Trump administration really wanted to ease air traffic during this time, that they could start by demanding that no private jets be taking off, that people have to go, shudder the thought, first class. Because private, and I didn't know this until Abigail Dinsey pointed it out, private jets take up 12% of American airspace. So right there.
That's a lot of flights.
It's a lot of flights. So, you know, Taylor Swift. believe me, I'm not hating on Taylor Swift Swifties. I love me some Taylor Swift. But, you know, maybe for a little while. I'm not saying Coach. I'm not saying Spirit Airlines. I'm just saying, you know, first class on Delta or something. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Do you, Zombers?
I know I don't.
All right. Very good. I'd be remiss if we didn't note that former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, current Congresswoman from California, announced this morning that she will not seek re-election. Arguably one of the most powerful political figures, one of the most powerful speakers of the House in American history. First woman, only woman so far, to hold that job. And this was interesting on CNN, this morning. Marjorie Taylor Greene from Trump World. And I want to play this, let you hear it, and then I'll give you my commentary. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene on Nancy Pelosi from CNN.
I will praise Nancy Pelosi. She had an incredible career for her party. I served under her speakership in my first term of Congress, and I'm very impressed at her ability to get things done. I wish we could get things done for our party like Nancy Pelosi was able to deliver for her party. So I wish her well in her retirement, but I would like to see people exit Washington a lot sooner rather than wait until they're 80s.
Yeah, we are. Marjorie Taylor Greene on the announcement that Nancy Pelosi will not seek re-election in 2026. I know a lot of, you know, Democrats are like, oh, geez, why are you giving Marjorie Taylor Greene a platform? You know, she's an election denier and conspiracy theorist. All true. All right. But And Trygve Olsen from the Lincoln Project has pointed it out on this show. It's significant for two reasons. A, it's one woman complimenting another woman in Washington, and I don't believe there's enough diversity in Congress as it is. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, despite being very politically different than Nancy Pelosi, at least admires the fact that a strong woman made it in D.C. And she accomplished things. Nobody's stronger in D.C. than Nancy Pelosi, all right? And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene respects that. And also, say what you want about Marjorie Taylor Greene's policies or beliefs and everything else, she's smart politically in terms of reading the political tea leaves, seeing where things are going in this country politically. And she has been on, whether it's real or fake or acted or disingenuous, I don't know. All I'm saying is that Marjorie Taylor Greene has read the political tea leaves and sees where this is going. And she's changing her tune. What all that means, how that, is this going to bring, is this a sign that Republicans after Tuesday election results are looking at all this and saying, look, we got to do something to bend here a little bit to bring a resolution to this government shutdown? This ain't going to end well for us, Republicans might be thinking, if we don't find a solution. So I just thought it was interesting that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene had something nice to say. And isn't it about, I mean, can't we just say nice things about forget the politics for a minute?
Yeah, I hope this is a trend that that she is the start of, you know, being able to acknowledge that other people can accomplish things and it doesn't mean that you failed.
Right. When you have the debates and you know, for moderator, for governor, for president, whatever it is. So we'll say, you know, tell us something, say something nice about your opponent. And some people struggle with that. It's like, geez, is it really that difficult just to say something nice once in a while? So anyway, but many congrats to Nancy Pelosi on a wonderful career. And she will be remembered as helping break the glass ceiling for women in this country. And she will also be remembered for her strength, both politically and otherwise. And also, she is a doer, Nancy Pelosi. She got stuff done. And for that, we should all admire her and give her our thanks. Great show today. Many thanks to Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area for being on the show today. Aaron Zommers for doing yeoman's work. All of you for listening and for tuning in. We couldn't do it without you. And all you Dan Schaefer people on the views, thank you for streaming with us. Come on back, as they say on the Beverly Hillbillies. We'd love to have you with us again. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn. For now, this is Todd saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you from Richland Center tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.